I think we said we're going to talk about the Aron Kodesh today. We're talking about halachos that come up in camp. So one of the halachos that comes up in camp over here is that the Aron Kodesh is oddly placed over there. Now, why is it oddly placed over there? That's east, right? That's actually Mizrach. What? Anyone have the thing on their phone that could tell you where actual Mizrach is? What? Oh, really? I assumed it was in the corner, and that's why they placed the Aron Kodesh in the corner.
I think it's at an angle.
Okay, so let's assume that that's east. If east is really a little more that way, then this would be
south.
Southeast, right? So what does the Gemara say in Masechet Baldasra? That harotza lahachkim yadrim. That if you want to become a little bit smarter, you should face a little bit to the south during Shmoneh Esrei. So southeast would be a way to face Yerushalayim, and at the same time, also aim for chachma. You know what the Gemara says? If you face a little bit to the north, well, what would that mean? Anyone know that one? Harot salahash your yatzpin. If you want to become wealthy, you face a little bit to the north. But lahach kim is yadrim. Why? It seems so random. What's that based on? So the Gemara explains, because shulchan ba tzafon minora bedarom. The shulchan was in the north, so the shulchan represents material blessing. Menorah represents wisdom. The seven branches are the seven chachmos. So the menorah, which represents wisdom, is in the south. So that's the way we normally face. So certainly, when we daven, we're supposed to try to face Yerushalayim. Right? The Gemara is explicit about that. You're supposed to try to face Yerushalayim. And if you don't know which way is Yerushalayim, what are you supposed to do? Think about Yerushalayim, because all of our tefillos sort of go derech Yerushalayim. Derech, the Makom of the Kodesh HaKodesh, and the Gemara even goes so far as to say, and if you're in Yerushalayim, you face the Makom Migdash, and if you're in the Migdash, you face the Kodesh HaKodesh. Right? So depending where you are in the globe, you could be facing north, south, east, west, but the point is that everyone's facing that central location, that location of Yerushalayim. And therefore, it makes the most sense to put the Aron in the same direction that Yerushalayim is. And that way you have no shilas, because you're facing Yerushalayim and you are facing the Aron, right? That would be clear. The Tosefta even goes so far as to say that the Tosefta in the third paragraph of Megillah tells us that Ein poschin pischei batei kenesios elo lemizrach. That the Tosefta, talking about places that are on the other side of Eretz Yisrael, where they face west, say that the doors of a shul have to be in the east. Why is that? Yeah, the doors are supposed to be as far back as possible on the opposite wall of the Aron. So if this were ideal, the doors would be off in that corner, right? Because the doors are supposed to be on the opposite side of the Aron. So the Mefarshim explain, why is that? Because they used to daven toward the, meaning why is it that the door should be in the east? Because they were davening toward the west. But if you are to the west of Eretz Yisrael, so we would put the doors on the western side of the shul, and that way, when we're walking out, you bow your way out. You're bowing directly toward the Aron Kodesh. I mean, we're assuming it's like a perfect box. Rashi, well, Rav Shechter in his Sefer Eretz Tzvi says that once when Rav Salvechik was giving shir, Rav Salvechik used to give a shir to Balabatim on the Upper West Side of Manhattan in a shul that I think no longer exists called Maria. And they had a door off on the side, not directly across from the Aron Kodesh. And he said, he was giving a shir about halachos basic knesses. He said, this shul is built shalo kedin. It's built incorrectly. Because they didn't have the doors. And Rav Salvechik would say things like that sometimes. Like he wasn't embarrassed to, like one time he was giving shir in Lampert Auditorium. And Lampert Auditorium has, in NYU, has stained glass windows. And Rav Salvechik was saying how we dafka, when it comes to the way Jews pray, we're not allowed to pray in the same way that Ovdei Kochavim pray. So any minhagim that they do in their base tiflus, in their base avodah zarah, we're not allowed to do in the shul. So Rav Salvechik said, and that's why he thought mixed seating in the shul was an issa d'oraisa, not just a bitla seid d'oraisa of not building every element of a shul that needs to be built, and not just a concern of, you know, where your mind is going to be or whatever, but a isser da'oraisa, he thought it was, of going like the chukos hagoyim, because any time it relates to prayer, it's an isser da'oraisa to do like the goyim. So he was talking in this shir, and he said, and therefore stained glass windows are an isser da'oraisa. And someone said, but Rebbe, Lampert Auditorium here in YU has stained glass. So then Lampert Auditorium is also, this is da'oraisa. And then he had to like apologize the next day. No, the windows are only yellow. But like he got all excited in the shir. So when he was when he was giving the shir Maria, he said that it's built shalok adin. And he says, you know, when people, when do we turn to the door of a shul? And during the during davening, once a week, we turn to the door of a shul during davening. So where do you turn? Let's say the door is not in the back of the shul. Do you turn to the door or do you turn to the back of the shul? So Rav Soloveitchik said, the only reason the minhag was to turn to the back of the shul is because that's where the door is supposed to be. You're supposed to turn to the door, not to the back of the shul. It's not a din in the back of the shul. Why? Because you're greeting Shabbos as if Shabbos is walking through the door right now. Right? It's like greeting an Adam Nichbad. So you're going out, like the Gemara in Baba Kama says, that they would go out and say, Bowie Kala, Bowie Kala. They would actually go out and greet the Shabbos. So it's as if you're going toward the door. So that's a little bit unclear. Most people just face the opposite side of the Aron when they do Bowie Kala. In the old YU-based Medrash, not the new one, the old YU-based Medrash, they used to have the Aron Kodesh. The doors were on the Mizrach. The Aron Kodesh was in the Tzafon, right? It was on the north. And the doors were in the Mizrach. So it was always confusing because some people were facing the doors for Shemoneh Esrei, some people were facing the Aron Kodesh for Shemoneh Esrei, because the machlok is what you're supposed to do, right, when the Aron Kodesh is not in the right place. So you had people doing that. And then came time on Shabbos for Bowie Kala, Bowie Kala, and it was like all hell broke loose. Like total chaos. Why? Because some people faced the opposite of the Aron, right? Some people faced the opposite of Mizrach. And some people faced the door which was in Mizrach. So everyone's like bowing to each other, bumping into each other. It was like, it was not a good matzav. Now in the new base medrash in YU, they also have the Aron Kodesh in Mizrach, but they have the doors in Mizrach also. Meaning the main doors to get into the base medrash are right next, flank the Aron Kodesh, which is an odd setup. It's not ideal, obviously. So what do you do at Bowie Kala? According to Rav Soloveitchik, you stay faced exactly where you are the whole time, right? Because you're facing the doors the entire time. So it's you can't really be mekayim that minhag of Bowie Kala, maybe unless you take a couple of steps toward the door or something. There's no way to actually be mekayim that minhag. Rav Shachter told us that Rav Soloveitchik would never daven in the YU Beis Medrash. He very rarely davened in the YU Beis Medrash because he didn't like the fact that it was built shalo kedin. That the doors were on the Mizrach and that the Aron was in the wrong place. Yeah?
But it's like the main doors that everyone goes to on one side and there's like some back emergency.
So that's what they have by the current YU base manager. So the main doors are by the Aron Kodesh. There's also some, you know, back emergency door in the back.
Like go through, but like, I mean, I guess there too.
Yeah, people use it. They go to go up to the second floor.
Would you then face the doors?
What?
Would you then face the doors?
I don't know, because I would think that you would face the main door. I would think that would be the thing to do. I don't know. Rashi in Maseches Brachos Daf Vav seems to say that once you're koveh the Aron Kodesh in a particular space, you face the Aron Kodesh. Meaning, even if you're davening on the outside, on the other side of the Aron, you'd still face the Aron. And even though the entire Kahal is facing Mizrach, which is Eretz Yisrael, someone on the other side would face not Eretz Yisrael with his back to the Aron, but let's say someone davening outside over there, Rashi says would still face the Aron. So Rav Shachter explains in Eretz HaTzvi and Simin Yud Beis that the idea of facing Eretz Yisrael is a din in where you're supposed to put the Aron. Meaning it's not an independent din that you face Eretz Yisrael. The din of facing Eretz Yisrael is that when you build a shul, make sure you put the Aron where? In the direction of Eretz Yisrael. Because the halacha is that you have to face the Aron. Meaning you would never be in a situation where you're in a shul where the Aron is in the wrong spot, so you're facing somewhere but the Aron. According to Rav Soloveitchik, it doesn't exist. According to Rav Shachter, it doesn't exist. The halacha is you face the Aron. It just happens to be that you're supposed to face Mizrach, and that's why we have a chiyuv to put the Aron in Mizrach. So if there is this stira between the two, you face the Aron. That is against, at least the Bir Halacha is Masubik about that. Who wrote the Bir Halacha? Chavetz Chaim, right? It's in the Mishnah Berurah, written by the Mishnah Berurah. He's not sure what to do when, because of some dochak, because of some problem, they didn't have the ability to put the Aron in the Kosel HaMizrach, and they have to put it in the southern wall, let's say. So what are you supposed to do? So he wasn't sure. But Rav Shachter was sure. Rav Shachter is sure that you face the Aron always. Rav Shachter writes in the Sefer Mipnei Arav. What's the Sefer Mipnei Arav? So he has, in addition to Rav Shachter's three regular Svarim of his own Chidush HaTorah, Eretz HaTzvi, Be'ikve HaTzon, Ginas Egos. I asked him when he wrote his third Sefer, why did you call it Ginas Egos, of all things? He explains in his Hakdama that the Medrash says that just like a pile of egozim, of nuts, if you move one of them, the whole pile comes tumbling down. So Divrei Torah are like that also, that you know that every sugi and shas is somehow connected. That you make your yisod over here and it affects like everything else. And that's his style of learning. That's Rav Shachter's whole derech halimud, is to see bigger picture and how things affect major sugyas and shas. But he said the real reason he called the Ginas, that's what he explains in his introduction. He said the real reason he called the Ginas Egos is because his first sefer was Eretz Tzvi. His second sefer was Be'ikve HaTzon. So his wife told him, your first two svarim were Aleph and Beis. Your third sefer should start with the Gimel. So he needed to come up with something that was... I started with the Gimel, so I came up with Ginas Egos. So I said, Rebbe, you should be Zochet to get all the way till Taf. He said, oh, me. Okay. So he likes brachas. So Mayor Everson just told me yesterday that someone went on Wikipedia and found Rav Shechter's birthday, and and it's during the summer, it's in July, I think, or August, it's not, during the summer sometime, and he was on NCS Vaikol. So a guy went to him in Kolo on the day that was his birthday and said, happy birthday, Rebbe. And he thought for a second, he said, Taka. It's my birthday. We should all be zochet to happy birthdays. Okay, he likes the brachas. So, in addition to his three regular svarim, how did I get here? In addition to his three regular svarim, he has three full svarim of hanhagos of Rav Soloveitchik. He has Nefesh HaRav, Mipnei HaRav, and Divrei HaRav. All of them are just, not all of them are things that he knows himself to be true, things that other trustworthy people have told him about Rav Soloveitchik that he thought sounds about right. But in the Sefer Mipnei HaRav, he says that a Beis HaKnesses has to be very careful that the Aron Kodesh is on the east in order that everyone faces the Mikdash. And the reason is, he says, because Mipashtos Loshon HaRambam, from the simple reading of the Rambam at the beginning of the Tefillah, it sounds like it's a Dinta Oraisa. Whoa, Dinta Oraisa, where does it say that in the Torah? Says the Rambam, Mitzvahs Aseilis Palel B'chol Yom. You have to daven every single day. Shenemar, and he quotes a pasuk, right? The Rambam holds Tefillah B'chol Yom, Doraisa. Who disagrees? Ramban. What does Ramban hold? Eis Tzar. The famous Vart they say from Rav Soloveitchik, or Beganako he says from Rav Soloveitchik, I think, is that it's no machlokas. Everyone agrees it's an Eis Tzar only. The machlokas is, how do you define Eis Tzar? That the Rambam thinks Kol Yom is an Eis Tzar. Because what? Because I'm breathing now, it means I'm going to be breathing in a moment from now. Because I'm healthy now, it means that I'm going to be healthy in a moment from now. Every day, how many people do you know where their life changed with one diagnosis, one car accident, like it just changes like that. Everything changes. So every day is an Eis Tzar. Whereas Ramban will say, you can't live life like that. You know, it's very hard to live life, you know, feeling every single moment as an Eis Tzar. But be that as it may, the Rambam is describing the halacha of Tefillah Midoraisa. And then in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes, "Va'kol you mispal limnocha hamikdash b'kol makom shiyeh." That you have to dive into the mikdash in the direction of the mikdash wherever you are. And v'chein oyadover tamid mi Moshe Rabbeinu v'yad Ezra. That was always the halacha. Wow, and that preceded Shmona Esrei. The Rambam says later they were misakin Shmona Esrei. Ezra was misakin Shmona Esrei. So it sounds like all of those dinim, because up at meaning, it's important. The Rambam says, Tefillah every day is Daraisa, and you have to face the Mikdash. And Ezra was Misakin Shmona Esrei. Sounds like the first thing that's Derabanan in that whole list is what? Is Shmona Esrei. But everything before that is Din Daraisa. So that's probably why. That's probably why also, by the way, where do the most, you know, in yeshiva, you go into a yeshiva, if you're looking for the Rosh Yeshiva, where do you go? You walk into the Beis Medrash. Where do you go? The front. Always the front. What are they called? The Mizrachvat. The front wall, the eastern wall of the Beis Medrash, the most chashuv place. Traditionally, even in a shul, the chashuvei ha'ir sit by the Mizrach. The most chashuv people sit by the Mizrach. Why? Why do they sit by the Mizrach? Pashtus is because it's closer to the Aron Kodesh. And whatever's closer to the Aron Kodesh is greater Kedusha. Ooh, is that true? Closer to the Aron Kodesh means greater Kedusha? Is closer to the Aron Kodesh means greater Kedusha? So here's why I think yes. Rav Shachter writes in Eretz Tzvi, Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses comes from the Aron Kodesh. Because the Beis HaKnesses is called by the Gemara Megillah a Mikdash Ma'at, which means that it's sort of patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. Well, what do we know about the Beis HaMikdash? Where does the Kedusha emanate from? The Aron. Right, it all builds out from there. Mibein Shnei Akruvim, that's the deepest sense of Asherah Sechina. Not only that, Chizkiyahu HaMelech hid the Aron underground, in a tunnel underground, before the Churban, because he knew that the Churban was going to happen. Well, why did he hide it underground on the Makom HaMikdash? Why didn't he just bring it somewhere else? Because he knew there was going to have to be a second Beis HaMikdash. You know what they didn't have in the second Beis HaMikdash? The Aron, but it had to at least be on premises. Because if it's not on the premises, if it's not there somewhere, at least in a tunnel underground, you don't have Kedusha's Mikdash. So a shul without an Aron Kodesh doesn't have full Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. Having an Aron is what gives it its Kedusha. And just like in the Mikdash, we find that the Kedusha sort of gets less and less as you work your way out. There's room to argue that in the Beis HaKnesses, the same would be true. As you work your way further from the Aron, the Kedusha's diminishing. So you want to have, it's so much so, Rav Shachter holds, L'chadchila, if you're building a shul, you should not have an Aron Kodesh that's recessed into the wall. Now you ever see it? Like this Aron Kodesh is in the room. But sometimes they'll have, like, they'll box out outside of the room itself so that the room will be, so that the front wall will be perfectly even. They'll box out an area recessed into the wall of the Aron Kodesh. If you've ever been to the Young Israel Woodmere, currently the Beis HaKnesses of North Woodmere also has like that boxed out into the wall. Shach says no good. Why is it no good? Because your Aron Kodesh is not in your shul. It's in an adjacent room to your shul. And then your shul doesn't have the full Kedusha. He said that at the Young Israel Woodmere right after they built the building. He said he was giving a shiur in honor of building the building. They asked him to give a shiur on Halachas of Beis HaKnesses. They asked for it, so he said, so Pashtus is, he doesn't have the full Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. And he takes a look behind him, like here. So, but that's a chumrah. I don't know if anyone else that holds that way, but that's what he said. There's another reason to suggest why it is that the Chashuvim sit all the way in the east, all the way closest to the front. And this would chap a big nafkamina. Not because of its proximity to the Aron Kodesh. There's another possibility. There is a Gemara Maseches Brachos that tells in Daf Ches, La'olam yikanes adam shir shnei psachim v'beis HaKnesses. When you go into a shul, you shouldn't daven right by the door. You should be at least two doorways width into the shul to daven. In any shul. You can go into any shul. The guys that daven by the door, you know, the guys that hang out in the back, the most serious daveners? Usually not, right? It's like the Ezra's Nashim crowd. You know, like, usually not the most serious daveners. I once said, you know, the Gemara in Kiddushin talks about Asara Kavim, 10 measures of Znus came to the world, and Tisha Natu Aravim, and 10 measures of talking came to the world, and 9 of them went to women, and 10 measures of this, and of beauty came to the world, and 9 of them went to Yerushalayim. You know that Gemara in Kiddushin? I thought you could say 10 measures of talking in shul came into the world, and 9 of them went to the guys hanging out in the Ezra's Nashim. Right? That's that's the chevra that's normally hanging out by the door. If the women are cramping their style and need to use the Ezra's Nashim, so the men can't be hanging there, so that's where they hang out in the back. Shul Gemara says you're not allowed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to be 2 psachim into the shul. Why 2 doorways width into the shul? Because you're not supposed to give the impression that you're looking to run out. You know, that you're that guy who's got your talisman filling all wrapped up before Aleinu, so that right away, you know, you can be on your way out. You're supposed to look like you're interested in being there. Okay, and when davening ends, you just make your way to the door. But you're not supposed to look like you're trying to get your way out. And if that's the case, the spot in shul which makes you the most in it, furthest from the door, which is, in an ideal shul, close, right, all the way in the Mizrach. So these are two possible reasons why, what makes the Mizrach so chashuv. One possibility is its proximity to the Aron Kodesh. The other possibility is furthest from the door. Nafkamina, the YU base matters. Why is that a nafkamina? Because the Mizrach is closest to the door. Closest to the Aron and closest to the door. They say in Torah V'das, Rav Pam, Zichrono Livracha, used to sit like in the middle of the Beis Medrash, closer to the back actually, in a regular chair in the middle of the Beis Medrash. Because that's where he always sat. And then they made him Rosh Hashiva and he didn't feel like moving. So like, it probably helped. I would imagine there were times that people came and they wanted to bother the Rosh Hashiva and they couldn't find it. You know, because like you always look in front for the Rosh Hashiva. But it was a very Rav Pam-like type of thing to do. You know, any stories of Rav Pam. Now, sometimes they can't be koveya the Aron directly in the Mizrach because it's off in a corner somewhere. So most places they won't do what they did here. Like if they find Mizrach at an angle, they won't place the Aron Kodesh at an angle. They'll choose a place to put it. They'll either put it northeast or southeast. And probably then the community has to decide on priorities, right? Meaning, do I want to be rich or do I want my community to be wealthy or do I want them to be wise? So if I want them to be wise, we'll make it southeast. If I want them to, because it's probably, you probably are not absolutely mechuyev to have a weird angle, you know, just to get it exactly klape Mizrach. And therefore, you could sometimes run into the following dilemma. We had in my shul, now it's knocked down because we're building again. Did you see us all the pictures? They put up the steel. It's actually happening. Anyway, so now we used to have an upstairs. We had an early minion, 7:30 minion. Downstairs was the regular minion, 8:45 minion. Right? East is at an angle, so it was weird. We couldn't face east. So, and it was a converted house. It wasn't even something we built. It wasn't something we could do anything about. So we couldn't face east. Downstairs they faced southeast. And upstairs they face northeast. Is that okay? What would be the problem? Either choice is okay. What's the problem? Well, it's good, right? You know, it's a conflict. So I actually found a tshuva about that, which I was very excited about, because like, what are the chances you're going to find someone that discusses that exact shaila? I found a tshuva's Heichal Yitzchak, who says, it's no problem, it's not what's good to do, because everyone is intending on turning toward Yerushalayim. They're all basically facing east. The Gemara says, if you say modim modim, you know the Gemara in Brachos, Tavlam Gimel, says if you say modim modim, what do we do? Meshaskinoso, quiet him down. Why? It looks like he's being modim l'shtei reshuyos. Isn't this even worse? You have people facing to the, oh, you're praying to the northeastern God and you're praying to the southeastern God. Wouldn't that be even worse? He says, no, they're not in the same room. You know, one's upstairs, one's downstairs. And he doesn't think that's worse. But he says the chachila, obviously you shouldn't do that because it's muzar v'tamua be'enei ha'am. It is weird, it's strange, it's unusual. So you're not supposed to do things that are strange. Right? It's a good rule of life. You know, there's no mitzvah to be the strange one. So you're not supposed to do things that are strange. Okay, so now coming to Camp Caleb. You walk into the shul and it comes time for davening. Where should we all face? La'alacha. There's no shaila. Meaning Rav Shach says you always face the Aron even if it's not Mizrach. The Bir Lacha thinks he's not sure. Maybe you face Mizrach even if it's not the direction of the Aron. Over here they were kind enough to build the Aron in the Mizrach. Right? So it's obvious you face the Aron. What's our problem? It's still a weird angle. Right? And when you set up the chairs, it's very hard to maximize the space and set up the chairs in a reasonable order when it's at an angle. So that's why I'm not the camp rabbi. I don't have to make these tough decisions. But it seems that the decision they made, no? What do people do? I never daven here. They tell you to face the Aron. Rabbi Sif announces it. Okay, because the first day of camp, Rabbi Sif is like, what's going on over here? Why are all the chairs not facing the Aron? So I guess he made it his business too. What? So that's what they are. Shabbos also? Yeah, okay, so that's l'chora, the right thing to do. There are other interesting things about an Aron. We just have like 2 minutes left, so maybe I'll just mention a couple of other things about an Aron Kodesh. There is a... let's see. There is a halacha. Mishnah says that just like when the Kohen Gadol would go into the Heichal, it was panav klapei HaKodesh, he'd be facing the Kodesh. When he would leave the Heichal, he'd back out of the Heichal. He wouldn't turn his back on the Heichal. Why? So the Gemara says, Kohanim b'avodasam levim b'duchanam yisrael b'mamadam k'shayu niftarim lo yimachzirim p'neihem v'holchem ela mitzadidim p'neihem v'holchem. They'd back out. Rambam paskins is halacha. You finish the avoda, you don't turn your back, you just back out. And therefore you've probably seen many people who have the minhag that what? When they leave shul, they back out of shul, not to turn their back on the aron. Many people, when they leave their rebbe, the Gemara even says that you should not turn your back to your rebbe. You should back out away from your rebbe. The Rambam paskens that way, and it's paskens shulchan aruch that way. I was told that Rav Hutner zichron levracha, Rav Shiva of Chaim Berlin, Rav Hutner was very makbid on in Chaim Berlin in general. They're very makbid on certain things. So if it was makbid that the Bachrim show proper kavod. So not because he needed the kavod, because he thought that the Bachrim needed to learn how to show proper kavod. So he had a buzzer in his office. You couldn't get out of his office unless he buzzed you out. And he wouldn't buzz you out if you turned your back to him. So, you know, like you'd be stuck at the door, like pulling. And nothing's happening until you, like, turned around. And then he would buzz you out. Not so much the style of my Rebbeim to attack that way, but that was a Chaim Berlin kind of a minhag. So there's a major shaila. What about a rabbi who's giving a drasha? So where does rabbi always give the drasha? With his back toward the aron. You know that? Or what about the people? You know, is it a din in the aron? Maybe it could be a din in the Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to turn your back to the Sefer Torah. What about during laning, all the people that sit in front of the bima? Aren't they all back toward the bima? So poskim struggle with this. They say with the rabbi, he's darshaning in Divrei Torah, and therefore it's mutter because it's the covenant of the Torah. Or maybe because the Torah is already in the aron, so the Torah is in a separate location. Maybe by the bima, since the bima is elevated and surrounded by walls, so it's considered a separate location, which does not help in this kind of situation where the bima is not elevated, or a mishul where the bima is not elevated, and it's just a table in the middle of the shul. It's not like something that's surrounded by walls. So that's another halach. A person's generally, what about Simchas Torah? Everyone's dancing around in circles. The guy behind you's got the Torah. Right? So it would seem that that's all Lekavad HaTorah. So whenever you could argue it's being done Lekavad HaTorah, that would be mutter. But you do see some people dancing in Simchas Torah. When the person behind them has the Torah, they'll turn around and they'll start dancing in front of the Torah. Because that's a greater way of Kavad. That's Kidmus David HaMelech. That's how David HaMelech was Mekarker Lifnei HaTorah. He was dancing, walking backwards, dancing in front of the Torah. So that's another halacha relating to an Aron Kodesh to Sefer Torah. So Duchening also, right? You have to say that it's because the Torah is in the Aron, and because that's the Derech or whatever, and it's the Kavod the Tzibur and the Kavod the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever. You have to say something like that, because that's the halacha that they have to face the Tzibur. It has to be Panim El Panim when they Duchen. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember, like, I saw him after his opening, he had he read like a little passage right after he finished, and I'm like, oh, what is that? So he's like, basically just saying that I'm sorry for turning my back on the.
Oh, really? Did Karim do that?
Sorry, I'm not sure if he
was. Sorry, Karim, apologize to the Aaron afterwards. Wow. That's amazing. Okay, I didn't even know that. I'm not a Kohen. Okay, very good. Enjoy your trip to.